Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe it.
You boys in line.
Thank you, monotone robot voice. It is Bogman and the Welsh. That's us. This is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for... What do you think our anniversary is? We've been doing this a long time.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean... It's no less than 2 years we've been on this network. Maybe three.
Oh yeah, it's more than that.
We had different iterations too. We had like the very first iteration was essentially us just curating things we did on the podcast and, you know, making them segments. And then we had the live show on, or we had the weekday show, because we're totally live right now, guys. Total totes. But we had the Wednesday show where we had a producer and we took calls, and that was super fun. And then we have this one, and we've been on here a long time. We should get like a, like, what do you do for 3 years of marriage? You get like a string, you know how like.
Why
each
would
year,
I know?
I don't know. Like I've never done that. My wife is so disinterested. Like I think she likes being married. She's just not interested in other people, so I don't have to worry. But like, she's so disinterested in like the elements of celebration. You know, like knowing dates. Doing special things for birthdays or, you know, anniversaries or anything like that whatsoever, that I've never had to worry about, like, you know, in 5 years you could have a wood, get something like that stuff is, I mean, first off, it's nonsense to me, but like, let me look. So let's see what FNTSY should get us. What thing do you get for 3 years of marriage? I don't even know what
I think they're going to say, congrats. We didn't fire you. Yeah, that's what you get to keep your job.
Is it called the knot?
Yeah, it's the knot firing you.
Tradition. Oh, no, there's themes. Okay, so here it is. Box. This is a good one. You know, 3 year anniversary.
Firing you?
Leather.
Leather.
Yeah, all that's right. The traditional gift theme. The modern gift theme is crystal.
Would it be weird if your boss got you leather for a 3 year anniversary?
Here's
I think
a
that
mask.
Would be strange.
Put it on.
Yeah, yeah.
Zip it up.
Here's a hood.
I'd like you to zip that up for your mask, please.
Yeah, zip that mouth guard up, please. We're tired of you. You're fired.
And that's making me think of Tarantino. I don't want to get us in a rabbit hole, but like, well, no, because I was thinking of the Gimp, and then the Hollywood movie just came out. And then did you also see he was asked if he could do one more movie? What would it be like if he expand on any of his movies universe? And he says he'd like to do another Kill Bill.
Well, yeah, the whole point of the next Kill Bill would be.
But he says he hasn't written it. I know what you're talking about.
Vivica A. Fox's daughter killing Uma Thurman.
But that was always speculation. He says he just has premises, but he hasn't written it, and he's retiring. Like he has one more movie, and apparently his last movie is going to be like a Star Trek movie.
Yeah, isn't it like? Didn't he say a long time ago he only wanted to do whatever it is, 10 movies?
Yeah. Yeah, so the next one he's done.
Why would you ever limit yourself like that?
I don't know. Why not do Kill Bill, please? He says he's talked to Uma Thurman and stuff about it.
Just do more. Just, you know, you can basically say, hey, look, I was however old I was when I said that. Now I realize that's kind of ridiculous. I want to keep making stuff. So
I
want to
keep seeing celebrities' feet. I want to touch celebrities' feet and film them.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many more feet that he hasn't touched.
Think of all the feet that Tarantino hasn't done. I assume Once Upon a Time in Hollywood has a grotesque foot scene with Margot Robbie. Because, that's got to be, that's his poison pill in any movie. You know how guys are like, no, I want the green M&Ms. He's like, I need feet. So I assume Margot Robbie's going to have a close-up of her stinky feet.
You can't tell who's disgusted by feet in this conversation.
There are so many feet that Tarantino has yet to get his hands on.
Oh, like, did you almost lose $100?
No, I just I thought of the Selma Hayek thing. Can you believe he was like, all right, guys, so I'm this character And I'm going to have this scene where Selma Hayek puts her foot in my mouth. And it's totally going to be cool. And everyone's like, okay, cool. This movie's going to be great.
You're the boss, I guess. So,
Uma, we want to have a 10-minute scene on your foot because you're paralyzed. And we're just going to keep
wiggle
looking
your
at your
big
feet.
Toe.
Oh. Oh, it's so gross.
And then after she does it, she goes, now let's get these other piggies wiggling. Whatever she says.
You know he wrote that line. Oh, God. Him and
just
Rob
imagine
Ryan
what he was
are,
doing while he him and who?
Know what? Rob Ryan is the biggest Rex Ryan. Whatever. The fat guy. Which one is that?
Well, they're both fat. Rex Ryan.
Rex Ryan. He's just like salivating. He's like, once upon a time in Hollywood. It's gonna be great. Special theater I need to watch this in. There's so many feet that he has yet to conquer. So you know, it's sad on him, but that's a whole rabbit hole that we got taken down here. Hey, what happened on the baseball podcast? I was out and Joe Pisapia filled in for me, and I would never listen to our show. So
we answered mailbag questions. it is kind of funny because I don't know how to say this. So
it was a better show.
We went
like
over
Fantrax that pointed out, hey, this is the best Black Book show that they've ever done. The one that Welsh is gone from and Celia. Come listen to the funniest show we've ever done without Welsh. I'm assuming that's what happened on the ITIL Baseball podcast.
Yeah, but I barely talked in it. It was mainly Jake explaining his stay at my place. So that was why it was funny.
Oh.
So
what do you not how you don't know how to describe what happened on our show that you were on that I wasn't?
So, well, it's just because of the words that Joe kept using. I said, you know, in the last show, when Rob Russell hit us up and said, I thought that, you know, diesel fuel was sludge, and that's not the case. It's clear. And I said, you know, like, you know, you and I talked about how we didn't know how to tie a tie.
Oh, you mean the things like, yeah, that adults should know. Yeah, we did the whole bit like things that we don't know how to do that we probably should.
Right, right. And he, of course, couldn't come up with any of those.
Oh, Joe? Said, no, Joe. Yeah. Joe's like, oh, yeah, I don't know how to cash my $1 million checks. I mean, that's the only thing, you know. I do know how to be an actor, and I do know how to, yeah, I know.
So, yeah, I mean, he didn't mention sword fighting, but he said he replaced the guts of his toilet, and he had never done it before. But he kept calling it the sea and balls. And I was like, and he said it like 150 times. And I was like, Joe, this is like having Spore on the show again, man. What are you doing? He's like, what? I can't say that. That's like what it's called. It's called the Sea and Balls Contraption. I'm like, that's definitely not what it's called, Joe.
It's the most Joe thing ever to not have anything that he's not good at. Well, you know, something an adult should be more prone to do is write unsuccessful books. But I don't know how to do that. I only write successful bestsellers, the fantasy block.
Yeah, I mean, Joe's a self-promoter. So, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying there. But he just kept saying that word over and over again. I'm like, OK, well, I'm going to have to beep out all of these.
Did people complain at least about him on the show?
No, I don't. I have gotten no complaints at all. So,
well, I mean, at least I know I'm just not important in the world then. But best show that was ever done on the Black Book, and Joe filled in and just said "see and balls" all day long, and everybody had a great
time. Yeah, you're replaceable like everyone else in every job ever. So like congratulations.
I shouldn't be replaceable.
You're a person.
So. Yeah, barely a person. Let's flip it a little bit here. We got a lot of camp stuff to talk about. But I want to talk a little bit of the bees ball. I want to talk a little bit about the bees ball and the trade deadline, which is...
How are you saying baseball?
It's like the Spanish, bees ball.
Bees ball.
Bees ball. Bees ball. I did that. I did the tweet. I was at Camelback Ranch, and I'm like, hey, Instagram, bees ball is being cute, even though I don't know any Spanish. And I should know so much Spanish. I was... Dude, there's this... this like cart lady at Camelback Ranch. I don't know what her job is. She's a very sweet person. I gotta get the right words here. She's just like, she sits at a cart and she just kind of like watches stuff. And that's just what she does. And she's, you know, just,
she's the watcher on the walls. She's the Lord Commander of the Night's Watch.
She speaks. She's you wouldn't look at her and think, oh, this is someone that speaks fluent Spanish. And She was speaking
Diablo the most, Blanco?
Yeah, oh yeah. But like, all okay. This is like a lot of different show, I guess I could describe it. But like, she was just speaking such fluent Spanish to some of these AZL Dodger players. I was just like, this is incredible. This is amazing. Yeah. And I don't know anything. I assume, actually, when I'm at games, that I'm being made fun of. Like, anytime someone laughs, I'm like, oh, I know what you're saying.
If they say
something.
Blanco Gordo, that means nice guy. So
yeah. Oh, like Blanco Gordo Bogman.
Yeah, I believe that was my I believe that was my name when I worked at the restaurant.
Blanco Gordo Bogman, nice guy.
Yeah.
Bogman.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know where I was going. I should just know Spanish is where I was going with it. But oh yeah, so I just took a picture and I did the Spanish translation of baseball on it to be super cute, even though it's not really cute.
Yeah, it's really adorable. Whatsoever.
Yeah, it's super adorable. But the MLB trade deadline, Bogman, is Wednesday. Wednesday this week, we have had nothing happen. It is the slowest buildup to an MLB trade deadline that I can possibly
remember.
It's like
a DC movie.
Tyler, what's totally this is the Netflix Iron Fist of trade deadlines right now. We've had Tyler White get traded to the Dodgers and your boy Derek Holland traded
by
to
the
Cubs.
Somebody, my boy, right. Somebody said, hey, look, I found it where Bogman is. He just got traded to the Dodgers. Oh. And they posted this picture of Tyler White. And he doesn't look like me in every picture, but he really looked like me, Bogman, in that picture.
I didn't comment on it. It was Antoine Malone. I looked at the face and I went, whoa, did Antoine Photoshop?
And I that's me.
I zoomed in and I was like, oh my God, that looks like Bogman. You should change your profile
really,
picture
really
to
look
that.
Like,
like the Mick Foley one.
The Mick Foley one. It's great for my AL only team, by the way. I had Tyler White get traded to the Dodgers. Tony Kemp got DFA'd. And Joey Gallo broke his hand all within 2 days of each other.
AL only. Saw ya.
Yeah.
Saw ya later. But the MLB trade deadline, this is the slowest lead up ever. And we've kind of talked about this because there's so many teams, you know, you also don't have the waiver deadline anymore. And there's so many teams that are on this cusp of who they don't know really who they are, and teams aren't paying the price. Monday should be a table setter the Diamondbacks have already said they're sellers. They've already kind of come out and said it. I don't know if they're going to blow things up, but they're sellers. But no one's willing to make the moves, I think, until Monday. So there's nothing but speculation. So I figured, let's talk about some of the speculation. And the one I'm most interested in is Noah Syndergaard. And because Noah Syndergaard, there was like, he's going to get traded. He's totally not going to get traded. Now we're getting reports that he most likely is going to get traded. And Omar Minaya was seen, this was like 2 days ago, and my boy just had Ray Butler on Prospect One. Ray Butler had from Prospect 365 had reported that Minaya was at the Atlanta Braves AA game where one of their top prospects, Ian Anderson, was pitching. And that's telling. I mean, sure, everyone loves to poo-poo the scouting thing. They're like, oh, good, there's always guys at organizations, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? There's not. There's not always the top official and multiple
managers.
Yeah, exactly. They're not always at the games. Believe me, I'm at a million AZL games. It's not that often that I see a slew of scouts. So Minaya being out there, it's very interesting. And the ties to Noah Syndergaard and the Braves make a lot of sense, because one thing the Mets love to do, if you think about the structure of who they're trying to be, is they love to build pitching in the minors, get it up to the majors, and spend money on free agents, hitting free agents, which is technically what you want to do. There are two teams that could pay a robust cost. There's actually technically three of pitching prospects that I think the Mets would want. I think they would want a deal centered around pitching prospects. One is the Yankees, and that's the one I was like, I added in because I just don't think that would New York. I just don't think they would do that. The cost would be too much. But the others are the Padres and the Atlanta Braves. So for the Mets to be scouting specifically the game that Ian Anderson is pitching, the trades to heat up, the Noah Syndergaard to the Atlanta Braves things makes all the sense in the world. The Braves should be going for it, Boggs.
Yeah, but interdivision trade. I mean, is not trading with the division rival just kind of, is that over with now? Is that dead?
I'm not saying that it's over with. I think maybe a, you know, kind of a common practice might be the overpay. You know, you're going to have to pay a little bit more. The only other option with, I mean, I 1,000% think the Padres are a dark horse in this. I think you go and see a guy like Omar Minaya at a game scouting a guy like Ian Anderson. But truth be told, I think what the Padres have been doing is they have been putting some of those prospects out there in a showcase. You've had Adrian Morion and Mikel Baez out there really just like from double A all the way up to the majors. Why? Well, to show like how close that they are. And they were both successful. The Padres have so many pitching prospects that I think the cost could be a little bit better. How would you work this out then? Let's say I think the Padres are going to be buyers. I think Atlanta 100% is going to be buyers, and the Yankees are going to be trying to make an offer. Give me the rank you think of possibility that make the trade happen for Noah Syndergaard.
Give me the teams again.
Yankees, it Braves, was, and Padres.
All right, Yankees, Braves, and Padres. Oh God, I don't know that I'd trade him to any of those places. If I had to pick one, I'd pick the Padres.
It's not New York and interdivision.
I think it's more likely to be traded to interdivision than it is to the Yankees, to be completely honest with you, just because of, you know, the crap that the Mets already take being behind the Yankees in New York is significant. And I think if you're just giving them your best player, it's just a terrible
but
look.
But they're not going to give. Any team is going to pay a hefty-ass price for Noah Syndergaard. But all three of those teams, they absolutely have the prospects to overpay.
Yeah, they all have the prospects to overpay, but the Yankees also have they have the ability that if he works out for him to stay there for a very, very, very long time, it'll just be a constant embarrassment to the Mets organization if he becomes a Hall of Fame pitcher pitching for the Yankees.
Well, and there's an incredible comment that was put out there that we'll talk about. Plus, we'll go through a few of the other trade rumors that are looming because we ain't got no trades yet, but strap in for Monday because I think once the floodgates open, it's going to get wild. So we'll be right back right here on In This League.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In This League.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In This League.
Get in the game with DraftKings Sportsbook. The listeners of this show can get a risk-free bet of up to $500. You hear me right? How much was that, Bogman?
$500.
Look at that. Checked in. Here's how it works. One, create a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Very easy. Number two, make a deposit. Relatively easy. Number three, place your first bet and DraftKings will match it up to $500. Just go to sportsgrid.com/DK to play. That's sportsgrid.com/DK. Act quickly. This offer won't be around forever. And by the way, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 and over. New Jersey only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See website for details. Deedles. Get for the deedles.
Get the deets.
So here's some other stuff looming around. Where was this comment? I just had it up by Buster Olney. Buster, we were talking baseball, by the way. Welcome back. Bogman Welsh in this league. Talking about the trade deadline. Buster Olney reported a couple days ago, quote on his tweet, rival evaluators say they believe the Mets are fully intent on dealing Noah Syndergaard before the trade deadline. It's beyond listening, said one. They want to move him.
I don't get that.
MLB Network got in on this. Check out this trade scenario. Speaking of the Padres, that the MLB Network put up. And there's no way they do this. Manny Margot, Austin Hedges, and Mackenzie Gore for Noah Syndergaard. I can't imagine the Padres trade Mackenzie Gore.
I was going to say, is that enough?
I think Margot and Gore, I get what you're saying. If you're going to get Gore, you're lucky to also get Marco at that point. Like, Mackenzie Gore is the best pitching prospect in all of baseball.
Second half, Manny Margot right now. I just picked him up in my 10-team league. He's been doing incredible.
Yeah. So I think that's it. That's an interesting start. Like, I see this trade. Oh, boy. I mean, what's tough is I could have seen a guy like Luis Urias, you know, maybe being involved in that. Though Urias and Tatis Jr. are really good buddies.
If you had to pick a dark horse team that hasn't been involved in any rumors yet for a guy like Noah Syndergaard, a team that, you know, has a bunch of capital to give for a guy like him, and they just had, they're in the playoff run, obviously. What is that team? Is that the Astros or something like that?
Well, I mean, the Astros should always be in play, but they don't have the assets. The asset, though, would be they'd have to give up Kyle Tucker. Now, what's
be like Tucker and Whitley, right?
What's wild here? Well, see, they're not going to give up both of those. They could give up Whitley. Is there's a rumor going around about Marcus Stroman, and the Blue Jays are even not sure if they want to trade him. But the talk is that it's going to cost Kyle Tucker for Marcus Stroman, and the sides are split. Where, you know, some say, yeah, it's probably not even enough. Like, the Blue Jays don't know if they want to do it for that. And there's others that are like, that's not going to, they're going to hang up that call.
Right.
So that's an interesting one. The Astros, I don't think they have enough capital outside of Tucker and Whitley. So they have to give up one of those two. Like, they're not like, see, okay, so Padres, they've got Mackenzie Gore, but you've also got guys like Luis Urias. I think an outside thing, which could be really interesting, is they've got CJ Abrams, who they just drafted, and he is the best hitter in the AZL right now. Not that they'd want to trade him, but if you go and look, Tatis Jr. and Luis Urias, that's your middle infield for the next 10 years, if you're comfortable with it. So the best Abrams might be is moving him to the outfield. So you might do that if that gets you off of Mackenzie Gore. But the point is, the Padres can get off of their top prospect, where a team like the Astros, they cannot do that. There's no chance they could do that. Now, the Doyers could be a team that have the assets. They 100% have it, especially, and I would be shocked if they did this, though, they got a guy named Gavin Lux, who is destroying the minor leagues right now. He's been moving over to second base for, you know, eligibility to come up to the majors here soon. I mean, Gavin Lux, I think, gets a conversation started. Plus, they've got pitching prospects in there. I think the Doyers, even though they're not a, quote, sleeper team, I just don't see them being discussed with the Noah Syndergaard stuff. I wouldn't be shocked. And I bet Minnesota wants to get in on all this stuff.
Did Minnesota have enough?
Oh, they got Kirilloff. They've got Blue Star, Trevor Larnach, Royce Lewis. And there's a rumor going around, another one, that was Marcus Stroman and Ken Giles, and the Twins would give up Trevor Larnach, who was their first-round pick from last year, and Brusdar Gratterall. And the Twins don't know if they want to do that. But what if that conversation got you started with Noah Syndergaard? I think you know what? I'm going to tap Minnesota as the team that could shock and jump into that conversation.
God, they've been so good, too. They just became the fastest team to ever hit 200 home runs in a season at 103 games. So
they're wild.
Yeah, they've been really, really good. Yeah, I think the Twins are a good one. I think, like you said, the Astros probably always have to be involved. Do you think how much what is Syndergaard's contract like? Do you happen to know off the top of your head at all?
I don't, but I can look it up real quick because I've got some depth charts up here. All right, so the Mets, Noah Syndergaard, and then we will click on contract. He is owed. This year he's making $6 million. Next year he's arbitration eligible, so a team's going to be paying some good money. And then he's a free agent in 2022.
Okay, so 2 years of arbitration.
Yeah, sorry, he's 2 years of arbitration.
Do you think that a team would trade for him even if they're possibly not in the playoff run, just to be able to maybe work out a contract extension with him if they know that he's the type of guy that they're going to want? I mean, you would think that maybe the Mets would just keep him because the Mets would make the most sense. But it seems like they want to, for whatever reason, they don't think he's going to want to stay there. So they want to move him.
But how often
because
do
anytime
you see-
I hear anytime I hear the stuff like the Mets are definitely moving him, that it's just so stupid for them to come out and say that. So it can't be them saying that.
Well, because I mean, that quote from Buster was another executive being like, they're trading him. Like, they don't, they're not talking about it. They want to move him. So it's other people that are saying it, not the Mets.
Right. It's just, it's a bad look either way, because it seems like you kind of cheapen the process when you do that, because it's so much better for you if you sit there and say, no, you know what? You're not going to offer us anything good. We're not going to trade him. Yeah. And that's for anybody.
Interesting stuff. The NBCS Athletics account for the A's has an article up about the A's having the prospects to make it happen. And you know what? They do. Jesus Luzardo, AJ Puck. They've got some other pretty interesting hitting prospects out there. The A's and Noah Syndergaard makes way too much sense, because here's another one. We were talking about the Yankees, Bogman, that the Yankees, this is John Heyman. He says, to this point, the Yankees have been declining requests for top pitching prospect Davey Garcia. However, the stance would surely change if Noah Syndergaard became available, but I don't think the Yankees would want to give up too much more. And think about the teams like the A's and the Twins would have to, but also be willing to pay a little bit more than a premium, I think, than the bigger market teams, because, you know, you get this guy in here, you get 3 years of him. A team like the Twins and the A's, having a controllable asset for 2.5 years on a window, I think is massively valuable. I think they go all in. They trade whatever they possibly can. I would say the same thing about the Padres. I wouldn't want to trade Mackenzie Gore, but I mean, if it's a window to get him in the rotation that makes a difference, here's what I know. Noah Syndergaard is getting traded. I fully, firmly believe that on the Thursday episode of the In This League Fantasy Baseball podcast, we are going to be talking about Noah Syndergaard in his new home. I know that.
Okay. I mean, I'm not as convinced as you. I do think he's going to get traded, but I wouldn't lay the hammer down and say he's definitely going to get traded. I think they want to move him. I don't think that the thing said from Buster only was, you know, misinformation or anything like that. I just think that it, you know, he's such a good piece and for any team, that if you can't get exactly what you want back for him, then, you know, the deals just don't work, and that's why they die. So I'm not going to guarantee that he's moving like you seem to want to do here, but I think he will wind up on another team. I think someone will get it done. If you had to bet money right now on what team it was, what team would you choose? Would you choose the Padres?
I'd say the Braves right now. That's the one that I feel like. But I think the Twins and the A's make so much sense from the overpay. And the Padres, if they want in, they can get in. But the Padres are also linked to another one, Boggs. They're linked to Trevor Bauer. Because Trevor Bauer, you know, his ridiculously stupid won't sign a contract stance thing, a long-term contract that he does. And I think the team wants to move off of him. And the Padres, there's a heavy, heavy contingency of, you know, I mean, obviously, because both of these teams are out here in Phoenix, there's a lot of Padres guys that are local. And they've been following, I know personally, they've been following guys like Adrian Morion and Baez for a long time. They're very, very familiar on the Indians and the Padres side. They're both very, very familiar on both sides of their lower-end system over the last 3 years, that I think the Padres, they could make that move for Trevor Bauer. What would you think about that?
To be honest, I would love it if Trevor Bauer was on the Padres, because I dislike him so much. I would just love that rivalry that would be between Trevor Bauer and just the Diamondbacks as a whole, because he, you know, didn't leave a good taste in anyone's mouth when he left. And I think it'd be great to face him more often than, you know, we do with him playing in Cleveland. So I would love that. I also obviously would like it more for him in fantasy playing in San Diego. But I think, I don't know, it could outweigh. Well, no, I think the Padres are going to be good for a while. So, yeah, you know, probably going to get a bunch of wins for that organization, too. So I think this is a great move, probably for all parties involved, because the Indians keep seeming like a team that, for whatever reason, they want to just blow it up. And their squad is pretty good, but it's always just a couple injuries off from completely imploding. Like, they haven't played their best baseball this season, and that is in big part to Jose Ramirez, but they've also had, you know, obviously Carrasco with his illness has been out for a while, and Kluber got hurt, you know, and they just haven't played the way they expect to play, so it's been less than ideal, I guess, to put it the nice way, this season. So They always seem like they kind of want to blow it up. I'm wondering when they're eventually just going to do the whole thing.
I'm not sure they need to do the whole thing, but I don't think I think Bauer's interests are so fleeting. Also, Bauer is a Southern California guy, went to UCLA. So, you know, going and putting him in San Diego, that might be really ideal for him. You know, he might want to be in a spot like that. So I think
his rap career back up off the ground. That's what I want.
West Coast, best coast. You got to do what you got to do. Another one that's out there is, so let's assume for a minute, you know, Syndergaard goes wherever, Braves or A's or Twins or whatever. Bauer goes to San Diego. The Yankees are still looking for pitching help. A lot of rumors out there about the Yankees' interest in Robbie Ray, and they've got a certain outfielder named Clint Frazier that would make a lot of sense in a move, Box.
You know, that popped into my mind the other day, but I was like, I don't know. Haven't they kind of had, not staunch or hard line, but haven't they kind of talked about how they didn't really want to trade Frazier for a while at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think their interest has been to move him unless deemed completely necessary, and I think they're getting close to that, though.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, I love it. I think that it's about time for the Diamondbacks to, after you trade Goldie, you know, it's time to realize what you are, and you are a team that needs to rebuild. And, I think that would be a nice step towards doing it, is trading some of this pitching that the D-backs have. They obviously don't want to keep paying for Greinke, and Robbie Ray is going to need an extension at some point. We're not going to give it to him, so best to move on from him. So I'm all in. Let's do that deal.
If the Mets were to move Noah Syndergaard, Edwin Diaz has got to go, though, right?
Yeah, this is such a weird one, too. I feel like Edwin Diaz could have provided so much more, but he's had such a terrible season. And, you know, you were spearheading the I'm not going to trust these closers that have only really done it for 1 year. And it was Edwin Diaz and Blake Treinen were the big guys, and you were against drafting them. And that ended up absolutely being correct. The big one that I keep hearing is him going to the Dodgers, which ruins his value because he's definitely going to be behind Jansen.
Yeah.
I mean, where else could he end up?
You could take, I go back to Atlanta. Like, how much are they going to really want to trade interdivisionally? That's kind of a problem.
He's too expensive to go to Boston.
Minnesota.
That's why. Yeah, that's a good one too.
I told you. Remember, there's that rumor of Minnesota looking to Ken Giles and Marcus Stroman. I think they'd like to get a dual package. Boy, if they could get Edwin and Noah Syndergaard, Minnesota would. I mean, they'd have to deplete the house. They'd have to probably trade Royce Lewis, Kirilloff, and Bruce Dark Gratterall. But I mean, that would be go all in.
Yeah, I think if I'm the Mets, I'm definitely doing that too. So, that's a really good deal. I just like Diaz. I don't know why Diaz is at the top of someone's list when they want to get better in the bullpen this year. His ERA is almost 5. It's 4.81. So, I don't know that he's the guy that you want to be adding. I know you want to be adding elite talent and all that stuff, but is that Diaz this year? And with his contract, I just don't know.
Everybody wants bullpen help, though.
Get it somewhere else. And get it from a bullpen that's good.
But it also costs.
I would rather trade for Giles.
Well, but Giles isn't coming cheap either, though. None of it. That's the whole point.
But that's fine, but he's performing. That's kind of my point. Like, I know these teams want to get good. They want to get better in the bullpen, and that's why, like, Greg Holland is the worst closer. I want to strangle him. He has been so bad recently, and I feel like the D-backs still have a chance to move him because these teams get so desperate in the bullpen. And we've seen, I think that it's just a better idea for, like, what the Cardinals did with moving Carlos Martinez in there. Move some of your prospects into the bullpen. You know, that way it costs you nothing. Maybe you're starting their clock. Maybe that's what it costs you. But move some of your prospects into the bullpen and let them close out. That's how Adam Wainwright got his career started, was as a closer. You know, John Papelbon wound up doing that for the Red Sox and winning a World Series and then sticking in the bullpen. So it just makes more sense for some teams to do that. That's why, like, I hear the Edwin Diaz stuff and I like him and I want him to get better. But I just can't imagine giving up a lot to get him. And if it costs a little more to give up someone for someone that is performing right now. I just don't get why Diaz is the big draw, I guess, is my point.
Well, when we come back, we're going to kind of do a dual segment here because I want to hit on Last Chance U, and I also want to talk about the Hard Knocks trailer is out there. But I got two things I want to finish up here. I want us to go with the top three big names that get traded, and I want to touch on one more team and one more potential rumor that is floating out there of a player that could be traded. So two quick MLB trade deadline things, and then we are going to turn it in this final segment of Hour 2 into a little Hard Knocks and Last Chance U, little football on the boob tube. That's what I want to talk about, because you got to school me on Last Chance U. I still have never watched it, but I will 100% be on Hard Knocks. So don't go anywhere. More Bogman of the Welsh coming up. You can follow us on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh, at Bogman Sports, and go check us out over at patreon.com/ITL Army. That's where the stuff is happening. But don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door, and after that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Welcome back. In This League. And in thisleague.com and on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh and at Bogman Sports. It is your boys, Bogman and the Welsh, from back. All right, so this is going to be a split episode because we've got baseball and we got football, or at least a split segment, if you will,
Bogman. Yes.
Nick Pollock would hate it.
I will.
It's split. It's a splitter.
It's a splitter. Yeah, we got some love on Pitcher List, by the way.
What do you mean?
So, like Nick was talking about us on Pitcher List, so...
What was he saying?
A nice little plug on his show. I mean, I didn't hear it. People told me about it, but
people don't tell me anything.
Yeah.
Do people like what we're doing?
Yeah, I think so.
I wouldn't know. I don't hear anybody. I wouldn't know.
Do you remember the earlier segment where you're like, don't interact with me because I'm going to take it the wrong way? You remember that?
Yeah, but don't
I wonder
be
why no one tells you anything.
Don't be critical and don't. I don't know.
Don't say words to me.
No, say nice words to me. That's all I want. Like people are like, what do you want? You just want a bunch of yes men? Yeah. Yeah, I do. I want people to say nice things to me. That's what I want. I want to be covered in nice. Yeah, so do people like the things we do?
I mean, as far as I've heard, yeah, I'm sure. But like, as in life, there are plenty of people that don't like the stuff we do too.
I'm so, well aware of that. That's what I'm getting at. I hear from those people almost as much as I hear from anybody that, you know,
no,
they like stuff.
No, you don't. Yeah. You don't. No, they stand out more to you.
I have a wild line I get to tell you on the baseball podcast that someone said to me. And I'm like, surely this is a super offensive thing that you just said to me. I don't fully understand it, but we'll talk about it on the baseball podcast.
Okay.
All right. baseball
tease
things.
For the baseball show.
Yeah, exactly. Last two baseball points. Zach Greinke, rumors Philly seems to be interested in him. The Diamondbacks should probably have to send some money, assuming they're going to want some prospects back. I think that makes a lot of sense, especially because maybe Philly could move a guy like Scott Kingery for a guy like Noah Syndergaard, and Diamondbacks send some money back. Maybe the Diamondbacks get a low A play or something like that. So I think that makes sense. Are you in on Zach Greinke being moved by the Diamondbacks? Do you think they would move Robbie Ray and Greinke?
I think they would. I think the problem. The problem for moving Greinke is still how many teams are on his no trade clause. So, and let me see, the Phillies are on it. So, the Orioles, Red Sox, Reds, Rockies, Tigers, Angels, Dodgers, Twins, Yankees, A's, Phillies, Padres, Giants, Cardinals, Blue Jays.
The hell's not on it?
14 teams, because that's 15. You include the Diamondbacks. So 14 teams are on it. The Marlins aren't like all the crappy teams, the Reds.
Maybe the Twins?
No, the Reds are on it. The Twins are on it. So it's literally
so the whole league.
Over right. half of the league.
So he must have the 10-5 thing. He's got full right.
It's
of
not
refusal.
The 10-5 thing. I think this is part of the deal.
Yeah, that would be the same thing.
I think this is just part of the deal. 10-5 is you can do any team. But yeah.
Well, I don't know. I hope he gets moved. But I feel like the increased chatter speaks to Greinke understanding and maybe being okay. I think he just wants a say in where he goes. And the Phillies are the team that keep popping up. So here is the question then. Of all the guys, there's other small, you know, things that are out there. Give me the top three players that you think are moved by the time the trade deadline is over. You don't have to say no Syndergaard, but there's guys like Syndergaard. There's Wheeler. There's Bauer. There's Edwin Diaz. You could throw in a whole bunch. I mean, there's Padres like Franmil Reyes and Hunter Renfroe. There's Diamondbacks players like we talked about, Marcus Stroman. There's a lot of big
I think it's pitching. I think it's Syndergaard. I think Greinke does get moved. And I think there's going to be another weird one. Like Puig's name has been popping up a lot. And it's not as in, to be honest, I think with Puig now, it's more teams want him than, you know, for a long time, it seemed like the Dodgers wanted to get him off the squad. So, I'm trying to think of another name. I think Castellanos gets moved. I think he's gone.
Who?
Nick Castellanos.
Oh, okay. For some reason, my brain went to Luis Castillo. I was like, what?
No, I don't think Castillo's going anywhere. I think Vasquez gets moved from the Pirates.
So what is your top three?
Smart
then?
To do that.
You're saying lots of names. What are your top three?
I think my favorite thing to do is to list names. Know. You know that.
I'm just trying to hone you back in. I'm like, what's the top three? You're like, well,
I don't really have a top three. Guy.
Well, you said Syndergaard.
Yeah, I think Syndergaard and Greinke both get moved.
Those are two huge names. So what's the
Puig. Let's just make it be Puig. I think he's the third.
God, you hate Puig. No one hates Puig more than you.
I don't hate Puig. Okay. I think if he moves, he's going to get to a better situation. So,
I mean, you
I think it'll be good. Well, I don't like all the stuff that Puig does. I don't hate him. Like, the guy's had it rough. Like, reading his story of getting over here was terrible, you know? So I feel for him in that situation, but it's also like, you know, when he tried to fight the entire Pirates team earlier, it was just so asinine. Like he's going to be, once he reins himself in, and that's why he's got the nickname the Wild Horse and all that stuff, and can be a little bit more calm, I think he's going to be a better hitter, and I think he's going to be a better teammate and all that good stuff. He's just young.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to go with Syndergaard. I think Edwin Diaz also gets moved. I think they got to have a depletion of both of those players. And then, I'm going to go with Bauer. I think Bauer's a little bit of a bigger name than Greinke. I'm going to go with those three. But I think
I was going to ask you, do you think Bauer's a bigger name or do you think he's just more likely to get moved than Greinke?
I think both. I think on both ends. But the one thing I do think is that I don't think the Diamondbacks move both the pitchers. I think they move one of them. Because then they can hedge their bets a little bit. So I don't think both get moved. So it's one of Ray or Greinke. But I definitely
You know,
think
it's funny that you say that because I feel like it's either one or both. It's both or none.
I hope so. I personally hope so. I would hope that they would take that approach because if they could go get Clint Frazier and, you know, I don't know, maybe another smaller piece, you know, another smaller pitching prospect from the New York Yankees, and then they could go get another God, if they could get a Kingery. If you came out getting those two pitchers out, getting Kingery, Frazier, a low A pitcher, and then, you know, you're paying a little bit of money, but you're saving, it's a huge win for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
It's an absolute huge win for them to come out with two starter caliber. Now, they're going to be like this young, weird team with the Carson Kellys, and, you know, they get him, they put him in the roster, but it's a great start. And as a Diamondback fan, I really hope they move both of them. I hope they move everything.
You're going to be hitting at that point. I don't know how your pitching is going to be,
but
you're definitely going to be hitting at that point. So I hope so too. Like I said, I think it's time to shake it up for the D-backs. It only makes sense to do that after you traded a star like Goldie. And I understand you got good pieces back because Carson Kelly's been great. And Luke Weaver, you know, by the way, every single thing I hear, Weaver's, it's soon. He's coming back soon.
Soon.
Oh, he's right around the corner. And then nothing.
No.
Do something.
Do Come something. On. I don't know what he's
do
doing.
Do something.
I don't know. I mean, he'll probably rehab out here, Bugs. That's everybody loves to. Wilmer Flores was out here recently, and it's just that's what they do out here in Phoenix. So at some point, he's going to throw a game. God knows when it'll be. Let's go to the Diamondbacks complex. Come with me.
All right. Well, when you know what? The least I can do is when you're up near me, I'll go and suffer the heat. But I'm not going to drive real far and also suffer through the heat. So,
what are you looking more forward to? The MLB trade deadline or Hard Knocks? Be honest.
Probably the trade deadline still. Like, Hard Knocks is going to be super entertaining. But just mainly for the trade deadline, because we don't have the rumors that we usually do have. So everything that happens is going to seem so much more crazy.
It feels like a flood is coming. But right, I will tell you, to go to Exhibit B here. Let me make sure we're connected here. Let me connect this stuff.
I heard something in the background.
Yeah, I was getting ready to play here. But why is this connecting? Come on, connect to you.
Come on, connect. What are you doing?
We're just trying.
I gotta hear John Gruden yelling at everybody.
Yeah, if you weren't hyped up about Hard Knocks, I think it's time to get hyped up. Like we all were like, oh, John Gruden, it'll be fun, it'll be a thing. Antonio Brown, stop talking, Gruden. Hold on, let me talk. Even though Antonio Brown just got put on the IL, which is a whole thing. This clip right here is quintessential John Gruden, and this is the teaser clip that they put out for Hard Knocks. So
everybody right now has dreams, don't they, guys? I said it to the rookies. All right, everybody in the NFL, I have a dream of making it in the NFL. I got a dream of winning a Super Bowl. I got a dream of being in a Pro Bowl. I'm really not into dreams anymore, okay? I'm into nightmares. You guys with me on that? You got to end somebody's dream. You got to take their job. You got to take their heart. Are you guys clear about this NFL now? We're not trying to go to the Peach Bowl. We're not trying to go to the Gator Bowl or the Blue Bonnet Bowl. We're trying to go to the Super Bowl. Okay? And to do that, you got to really try to end somebody's dreams. Are you clear on that, Farrell? Okay? I mean that now. So get into that.
By the way, you could clearly see some words that they were taking out of John Gruden's conversation there of ending dreams.
If you can't figure him out, God bless you.
There is just something so polarizing about John Gruden. Like, do I think...
I mean, that just fired me up, you know, listening to him. So he definitely still has the...
He's still
the
got
speech
it.
Going. He's you know, it. It, dude... The Raiders were so horrible last year, and he was in charge of that. And I know the roster wasn't as great as it could be. They had 13 sacks. That's why he pointed out Furl right there. He's like, you got me on that because they wanted him to perform so bad. They had 13 sacks.
I'll give pathetic. Anything to see on video. Someone asked John Gruden about Khalil Mack during Hard Knocks. That's what I want. I love it. 13 sacks. How many sacks did Khalil Mack have last year?
A 12 and a half.
Oh, man, come on. Can't you get one more?
It might have been 13 and a half. I don't have it in front of my face, but I know it was a ton. So
I don't know. I'm hyped up because, like, do I think we're going to be watching, like, great killer competitive football during Hard Knocks? No. Do I think I'm going to get the best storylines? Yes, I do. Yeah, give me Antonio Brown. Didn't he come in a hot air balloon? Didn't he come down to camp?
Well, how about him and Vontaze Burfict, who almost literally killed him on the field?
I didn't see
They're
that
on
happen.
The same team now.
Did he?
You don't remember when Vontaze Burfict in the playoffs against Cincinnati?
Oh, I thought you meant in practice. Yeah. I thought you meant in practice.
No, dude. I mean, just go back and watch that. Like, AB missed the next game against Denver when Pac-Man was saying, oh, he was faking. He wasn't hurt at all.
You think Vontaze is going to get any camera time? I feel like that's a guy they're
going to
avoid.
Vontaze Burfict is going to get 150%. I think it's going to be Hard Knocks with the Oakland Vontaze Burfict.
Oh,
that's
really?
What I think it's going to be. I think they are going to follow him around everywhere because he is a madman.
I mean, Antonio Brown's 100%. I mean, you got to have Derek Carr and his brother crying.
AB, Burfict, Carr, and Clelin Ferrell. I think that's what we're going to get.
Well, and then there's going to be like a rookie, a street signing guy.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Did you know the guy who's the tight end from last year?
I don't remember what his name is.
He's like a crystal.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah, of course he does for all of your chakras.
Yeah. Let's. It sounds fun.
Why do you know about that? Have you gone to it?
No, and I just
have members of your family gone to it.
I mean, I got to give credit. The Pardon My Take guys, they just randomly were talking about it, and they're like, "Yeah, Gadoose or whatever his name is, got a crystal shop. He's doing like crystal things in L.A. now." And I was like, "All right, like, let's. I hope we get another
fortune telling."
Every year in Hard Knocks, like, you know, it's always like, oh, blah, blah, blah. But there's always a guy that they're like, this is the gentle side of Taylor Mays. Yoga. And it's like, Taylor Mays is like, and he's like, this is my studio and this is where I do my art. And I like to get away and do my art. And then, you know, this past year, it's like, my name is whatever, Gadoosh, and I like crystals Gadoosh. And I warm the crystals around my face. There's always like super ultra, like, arty sensitive guy. And I couldn't be more ecstatic to find out who that person is and how John Gruden speaks to him.
I mean, they just have so many good characters on this team. Like Arden Key got kicked out of LSU, and he's the other guy on the side of the line from Clelin Ferrell. So it's going to be good. You know what? I'm more into Hard Knocks than I am into Trey Pedlin. I'm all the way in. I think I've just talked myself back into
now,
it.
What about Last Chance U? What's going on there? Last Chance U or Hard Knocks?
I watched Last Chance U in 2 days.
Was it season 3?
It's season 3. It's 8 episodes. They're like an hour apiece. I remember I watched 2 hours. I went to work. I came home, and then I watched 2 more hours. And then the next day, I watched like the last 4 hours straight, of course. Oh, and it was like, God, I should have gone to bed, but it was like, all right, just watch 3. I might as well just watch the last one, right? So I watched the last one. And if you don't know the story, like, it was all in the papers before what had happened. Like the first year year they went to this place called ECU, and it was not ECU. I can't remember. It's this little ass place, East Mississippi. That's what it was. Called Scuba Mississippi, and Buddy Stevens was the coach, and he is just, these community college coaches, man, are just brutal. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, you know, they're the same thing as any other coach. They're not, you know, there's a reason they're at community colleges, right? There just is. They're good coaches, but they have some attitude problem where they're just coming up in the ranks or whatever it is. But Buddy Stevens has been there forever, and he looked bad. He literally got in a fight with a referee. He got in a fist fight with a referee the first year.
Okay. So what was year two?
Year two was this guy, Jason Brown, who is a white dude from Compton. And he had been an assistant coach for a while, and he went to this place called Indy in Kansas. And Indy has been horrific at football for their entire existence. Like for the last 35 years, they've been awful. They're the 1-win team. They're the 0-win team. They're the team that they're basically the Mud Dogs from The Water Boy. You know, they have nothing going on. The cheerleaders are drunks, like that kind of stuff. So he goes there and he starts bringing in big recruits because he comes from a bigger community college program, and he makes the team much better. But of course, they lose, and there's all these weird fights and stuff. Well, this year, they've got even more good players going to Indy because, you know, of the last season of Last Chance U. Like, a lot of these kids want to be on TV, so they get even better recruits, and they just lose so many games.
Oh, really? Is it just madness?
Awful. It is insanity.
Does everybody hate everybody?
Pretty much.
Is this like the Real Housewives of college football?
Yeah, and there's this one kid. There's this kid named Kylon Davis who's great. I loved watching
him. You got about 20 seconds, Fox.
He's got ADD, but the way they interview his parents, and his dad says, you see, his mama, I'm a A&T guy, and his mama got a lot of that. So that's why I just fell in love with her instantly. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Him describing Kylon's mother is maybe my favorite thing in all
time. I mean, I might be a sell. All right, we'll couple more minutes on that on the other side of the hour, and we're going to kick back into more football talk, talking about some of the stuff in spring and the practices. I say spring training. It's not spring training, but, you know, the practices, OTAs and everything. So we're going to go through that, and I think we got a couple articles, so don't go anywhere. Hour 3 in this league coming up.